Juice Jr. this coming spring at, I believe, Gifford.
Here's what you got to remember.
It's showtime.
I'm like, give me that phone.
No.
This would be like school. Give me that phone.
Wake me up. All right.
It's like the teacher. Give me that phone. Well, you taught there for a while. Give me that phone. Okay, then you got the Addams Family. I never saw that. Casper, I did see. And I saw
Addams Family, and I think I saw Casper.
Casper was good. I kind of liked that. I remember when it came out. Gremlins, that's got a cult following.
That's an oldie.
Yeah, The Nightmare Before Christmas, Monster Squad, I never saw it. Goosebumps, based on the books. I know that's big.
I know I did not see that one.
And here's the one everybody loves. It's The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Yep.
From, what, 1965 or something like that.
I call my niece, and she's in her 20s now, and I still remind her to put out her candy for the Great Pumpkin the night before Halloween.
And the Great Pumpkin Patch. All right, Dave's going to be with me, David Mack, in the next hour. We're going to talk about some interesting subjects, so keep it right here. It's 7 o'clock right now at WRJN, and good morning.
Local news and timeless hits, WRJN, the Sink and Ocean.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in Washington, where Special Prosecutor Jack Smith is trying again to prove former President Donald Trump was involved in an alleged criminal scheme to stay in power after he lost the 2020 election. Mr. Trump tells News Nation,
they rig the election and then they go around getting people and persecuting people and prosecuting people that did nothing wrong.
The Supreme Court ruled the former president is covered by immunity for acts committed in office. Correspondent Jared Hill.
The court documents allege that when Trump was told Pence was in danger on January 6th, he replied, so what? And that when his advisors asked him to issue a message to calm the crowd and stop the riot, he refused.
Hurricane Helene is now blamed for more than 180 deaths in six states. And employees at a plastics factory in Tennessee are recounting horrific details of flooding that killed at least two co-workers. Robert Jarvis tells CBS News they were ordered to stay on the job in Irwin.
It was water was up about my waist. And everybody was in pure panic mode, not knowing what to do. We're looking for instructions on how to get out of here. We have no evacuation plan whatsoever.
11 workers were swept away. 4 are still missing. At least 9 people have been killed in an Israeli attack in central Beirut. The BBC's Sally Nabil.
An Israeli airstrike has hit a medical center overnight. The medical center is in a residential building. This residential building is pretty busy, and even this area is crowded with people.
Lebanese officials say 7 victims were civilian first responders affiliated with Hezbollah. Here in the U.S., not as many kindergartners are getting vaccinated. Federal data show exemptions are at an all-time high. At 3.3% last year. Still, health experts say the 92.7 who did get shots makes it unlikely a single infection would spark outbreaks of diseases like whooping cough or measles. The FDA may approve the first new sunscreen ingredient here in decades.
Bimatrisinal isn't new. It's been used in many sunscreens in Europe and Asia for years. But the FDA approval process in the U.S. is a long one, as sunscreens are classified as drugs, which require animal testing.
We'd really like to get some of those European sunscreens to the United States because it'll give us greater options for our patients.
And Dr. Robert Kirstner with the Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center says that ultimately could bring cases of skin cancer down. Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
S&P futures down 18. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A search for a fugitive in Racine yesterday prompted a lockdown at a school. Students and staff at Jerstedt Agerholm went into a shelter-in-place position at around noon at the request of law enforcement. They were on hold for nearly an hour. The suspect was eventually arrested in Kenosha. A 41-year-old pastor at Kenosha's Journey Church has been arrested. Gabriel Mills allegedly transferred intimate photos from a victim's phone to his own without consent. The Kenosha Police Department is investigating the incident. It's alleged that Mills borrowed the victim's phone and sent intimate photos to himself. Authorities are urging other potential victims to come forward as the investigation continues. Kyle Rittenhouse has been called many things. Now they're calling him a campaigner. Rittenhouse, known for his involvement in the 2020 Kenosha shootings during the riot, is set to attend a campaign fundraiser in Covington, Kentucky. He's campaigning for a statehouse candidate there. The event next week will also feature several other Kentucky state legislators. And wood carving enthusiasts are in for a treat. In Racine County this weekend, the Chainsaw Carving and Art Forest Festival is coming back. It's happening at the Riverbend Nature Center on Sunday. The free event will offer a look into the wood carving process, plus there'll be food, music, and an art fair. The wood carved will be auctioned later in the afternoon. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
He swings and drives one. Up towards right center. Taylor back. And it's gone! Mitchell, a two-run homer. And the Brewers have the lead. It's 5-3.
That's what it sounded like on ESPN Radio as the Brewers beat the Mets 5-3 last night. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Today will be Game 3 of the Wild Card Series between the Brewers and the Mets. Jackson Chourio hit two home runs, and Garrett Mitchell hit a go-ahead two-run blast to move the Brewers in front in the win. Manager Pat Murphy said Chourio had a great night.
Yeah, that's pretty special. Yeah, pretty special. A lot of guys contributed tonight. It was, you know, again, you saw what our team's about. What they've been about all year. They didn't quit. They kept every pitch. Yeah, a lot of guys' contributions, but Chourio, oof.
First pitch tonight is after 6 p.m. If the Brewers win, they'll play the Phillies on Saturday and Sunday to start the NLDS. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Mostly sunny today, our high right around 71 this afternoon. The wind out of the north to northeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to 56. Tomorrow, sunshine 68. And on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
People can't drive. They done lost their minds. It's not even fun to drive cars anymore. I got one. What about the people that turn their blinkers on and never turn? If you ever get in front of me and leave your blinker on, I will follow you to your house. I will pull up in your driveway, let that window down, turn that blinker off. And show me how to get home. I'm lost. I've been following you for 2 hours. And a lot of people don't know what the left lane is for. The left lane is the law-breaking lane. If you don't plan on breaking the law, don't get your slow speed limit driving behind over there. We don't need you regulating our speed for us. We might want a ticket. Get out of our way. Y'all seen them people? They need to be happy over there in the fast lane. Well, the speed limit is 70. I know. I want to do 80. Move!
Dave Mack and I, during the break, they were talking about the crime families we know. We're not involved in the families, but I'll take it. Put the phone away. Give me, this will be like school. Give me the phone. David, give me the phone. I'll give it to you at the end of the season.
As soon as I get my picture.
I'll take a picture if you put it
down. No.
I'll take a picture in front of the microphone. Anyway, we're talking about the crime families. And my father, I came visiting, for, I think it was up from Atlanta. And I went to visit him. And he took me out to lunch in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, where he used to work. And he didn't lock the doors. He said, you don't have to lock the doors in this neighborhood. You don't have to roll the windows up in this neighborhood. You can leave them down. It's protected. So we go into Bamonte's, which was the restaurant. And it's a hangout, but it's a really nice restaurant. So the owner of the restaurant comes by with a cheesecake for me, but it's an Italian cheesecake. It's not like a New York cheesecake. It's made with ricotta cheese. And my father said, he's bringing the cheesecake over. Do not turn it down. Just accept it, and that's it.
And put that phone away.
Well, someone's ringing. And I said, well, what if I don't like it? Just take it. It's like $110 for this giant cheese. It's really, it's very expensive. And I took it and said, Arthur, this is, and he's in a Brooklyn accent. Arthur, this is for your son on the occasion of him coming to visit. We just want you to have this. You're blessed with a son, and we just want you to have this cheese. It was just like out of the movie The Godfather.
Hey, your first grandson.
Be a masculine one. It was like right out of the movie. And I said to my father, who's in this place? He said, you can look around them. You don't recognize them, but they're all mob members in the movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the movie was, actually, the restaurant was in a movie called Cookie with Peter Falk. They filmed it there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, that's my brush with greatness.
Did you ever see Dinner Rush with Danny Aiello?
No.
Excellent movie. It's all centered in an Italian restaurant that he owns, but he's old school and his son is a nouveau chef or whatever. And all these people are coming to eat this Italian food on steroids. And all Danny Aiello wants is sausage and peppers. So he keeps one guy on the staff who goes and runs to the store, gets him his sausage, and then brings him up the sausage and peppers. And his son's insulted because he's making all this great food. But the whole movie is from the start to finish of the Dinner Rush. And there's a little bit of, you know, mob type stuff in it, but not, that's not the the focal point of it. It's just really well done. I think you can see it on, was it Tubi or whatever that free service
is? Yeah, Tubi.
Is.
Tubi runs a ton of movies,
so
yeah.
I would highly recommend watching it, Don. I think you'd like it.
Yeah, I like Danny Aiello.
Yeah, if you're a movie connoisseur, and it would be good.
Yes, I'm the new Roger Ebert of the 21st century. Dave Mack is here. David Mack is here, alderman for the 4th District, my alderman. And, oh, they got that road opened up finally. And you know what happened since they opened it up? Cars speeding up and down Main Street. When they had that closed down, nobody used the street. It was quiet. You can hear the birds chirping, the crickets at night. You can hear all that stuff. They open up the road now. Coming down Main Street at 100 miles an hour. I wish they'd close it. Close it. It's very nice, though. I would love to ask somebody in the building department why they used asphalt, because the entire road on Main Street is concrete, with the exception of that one part.
Yeah, I think they do that after, you know, they lay the concrete, and then when they have to go through and resurface it, they put asphalt. I don't know why they do it.
I mean, it's nice. It's smooth.
But they grind off a top layer. I mean, I guess you can't put a layer of concrete on it. That doesn't work, so.
I don't know. I mean, it's beautiful, a nice ride. It just looks odd to have, that's the only stretch of Main Street from all the way from 4 Mile to.
Someday it'll all look like that.
Not in my lifetime. So David Mack is here, 4th District Alder. And we're, I was talking yesterday to Melissa Caprillion. And she was telling me about the boycott. Now, I don't quite understand it. I don't know why I don't understand it. She was very clear on how she told me what was going on. And I kind of pretended I understood everything. I understand a little bit of it. Tell me if I'm wrong. Some of the Alders, not every one of them, just some of them boycotted because they want the Alders to have certain say and power that the mayor kind of took away from them. And am I close?
I think this has been simmering for a while, and I think there's a segment of aldermen that feel disenfranchised, feel like they are not being heard by the current administration, and it reached a breaking point when we had a committee of the whole meeting on August 8th, and there were three ordinances that were brought up. One of them was... to eliminate city employees from serving on city boards, commissions, and committees if it wasn't directly job-related. Number two was setting a date in perpetuity for the budget hearings that we hold and when the mayor presents the budget. And the third one had to do with giving some power back to the aldermen. When I was an alderman 13 years ago, communications, let's say Don Rosen wanted his street blocked off, or Don Rosen wanted to vacate the alley behind his house and he wanted to maintain that section as a extended backyard. I would send in a communication to the mayor and members of the Common Council. Don, on behalf of Don Rosen, he would like to shut down Main Street permanently and put a toll booth in. Well, that would go to the city council, and it would be read into the record, and it would be assigned to a committee. And so an alderman would say, you know, I'm going to refer this item to the Transit and Parking Committee. And it would go to the next Transit and Parking Committee. Now those communications don't go before the city council. They go somewhere up into the cloud. And the mayor and the city clerk determine when, if, and where those communications will go.
Oh, man, you got me so mixed up here.
All right.
There's a lot of stuff going on here.
Well, no, it's quite simple. It's basically a communication comes in, goes to city council,
right,
and the city council determines what committee it goes to, and it goes to that committee next meeting.
And is the mayor deciding what committee it goes to?
The mayor now and the city clerk determine whether or not that communication even gets heard.
Oh, I got you. Oh, now I'm starting. Before, the mayor didn't make that decision, and the clerk didn't make that decision.
Right.
Now, the mayor and the clerk are making that decision.
I mean, in reality,
it took a little power away from the council, is what it did.
In reality, in the old days, the clerk and maybe the mayor, I don't think the mayor was involved in the weeds of that. The clerk would look and see, okay, that communication should go to such and such because it falls under that parameter. So they did some of our work for us. We would know in advance what committee it should go to. But let's say there's an item that's going to finance committee. Police chief wants to accept a grant for public safety measures. Well, that goes to the finance committee because it has to deal with finance. But sometimes the chairman of the public work or public safety committee would say, you know what, that involves public safety. We'd like to also address that issue. So it might go to two committees. But now you don't know what communications are out there. And so you don't have that say. So Alderman Widener occasionally will see an item come through from the finance committee that she felt should have gone to public safety. She'll raise her hand and say, I would like that, even though it was approved by the finance committee, I would like that sent to public safety committee also so that we could have an overview of this item. So what happens? August 8th, we pass an ordinance that returns things back to the way they were. And the next council meeting, the item's not on the agenda. City council president says, Mayor, why isn't that on the agenda?
And that's Terry McCarthy, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And the mayor's allegedly, I didn't hear it firsthand, told him it had to go to a standing committee, which is either finance, public works, or public safety, or the executive committee, which meets infrequently, but at the call of the mayor. So he decides it's going to go to the executive committee, not any of the three normal standing committees that meet every other week. That was early August. It still hasn't come before the council, still hasn't come before a standing committee. The mayor has made our point of why this ordinance is necessary because it's being held up. It is not seeing the light of day. The other issue, though, is there is no reason why it could not have gone from the committee of the whole straight to the council because precedence has been set in the past. Ordinances have gone straight from the committee of the whole to the Common Council for a final decision, and the budget is a good example of that. There are ordinances in the budget that go straight to the council. It doesn't have to go through a standing committee. I mean, the committee of the whole is the entire council. So it's made up of every member of every committee. Why does it have to go to another committee?
Hold it right there. We'll take a quick break. When I get back, why would it not? That's what I want to know. Why would it not go to the whole? Why is this lingering for 2 months now? Almost 2 months. Yeah, we'll find out. David Macker, our 4th District Alder, is here. Talking about the what's going on now on the Racine Council with the boycott that took place the other night. More coming up in a moment. 719 at WRJN.
Bowden Hills Apartment in Racine has an incredibly rare opening of a one-bedroom apartment with a special extended 15-month lease. Fountain Hills in Mount Pleasant was named number one for senior living by senioradvisor.com. With amenities like on-site management and heated parking, Fountain Hills' top priority is safety with a locked lobby and thorough cleaning. Grab this rare one-bedroom apartment today at fountainhillsapartments.com or call 262-886-9200 right away.
When Senator Tammy Baldwin first went to Washington, the big news story was Y2K. And we were partying like it was 1999. Baldwin has been in D.C. for more than 25 years. And after a quarter century, her values are a lot more Washington than Wisconsin. Baldwin supported providing puberty blockers and sex change surgeries to minor children in Wisconsin. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women, even though domestic violence survivors say it would be traumatic to be forced to sleep in the same shelters as men. Tammy Baldwin, 25 years in Washington has changed her, and now she's just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Hungry for the freshest and most delicious sandwiches? Lee's Deli has you covered. Serving Racine for over 50 years, every bite is delightful. Hot ham and cheese, Reuben, meatball sub, turkey and cheese. Lee's Deli will leave you not just full, but fully satisfied. Check out the brand new online ordering system at leesdeliracine.com for pickup and delivery options. Also, stop in the shop on Washington Avenue for the new Lee's Loyalty Program. Start reaping the tasty rewards at Lee's Deli and Racine, open 7 days a week.
Are your auto and home insurance rates too high? Then call the folks at Bain's AAA Insurance Agency to see if they can help save you money. Licensed in both Wisconsin and Illinois, they have been in business since 2014, serving the Racine, Mount Pleasant, Kenosha, and surrounding areas. Bain's AAA has sold thousands of customers AAA road service, auto, homeowners, condo, renters, life, and umbrella insurance, plus personalized service to fit your family's ever-evolving needs with competitive rates. Call Annette today at 262-672-4702.
Coverage is subject to all policy terms, conditions, exclusions, and limitations. Discounts and savings opportunities subject to eligibility requirements, subject to underwriting requirements. AAA Insurance is a collection of AAA branded insurance products, services, and programs made available to qualified members. Personal lines insurance is underwritten by Auto Club Group Insurance Company, Auto Club Insurance Association, and AAA Life Insurance Company.
Something sounds different on WRJN. We're refreshing hometown radio with local news and timeless hits. Our on-air host will keep you up to date with local, state, and national news every hour, along with Mike Clemens Sports and, of course, the local weather forecast. Then Don Rosen, Cindy Huber, and Kurt Bowman will talk about what's happening right here in our city, county, and state while spinning those timeless hits that are so much fun to hear again. You can hear our Civic Media talk shows on 540 AM WAUK or on the Civic Media app. You can hear WRJN on 99.9 FM, 98.1 FM, and on our historic AM frequency, 1400 AM. Local news, timeless hits.
WRJN. Here with 4th District Alder David Mack. We're talking about the boycott in the city council, a little further about that. So what's the end game here? The boycott was the other night, and people just didn't show up. So what's the end game going to be here? Obviously, things have to get done.
Right. Well, first of all, I don't know why the mayor is holding this ordinance change up and not allowing us at the council level to finish our job and send it to him for either approval or veto. So I don't know why. I have not discussed it with him. The city council president has been the one that's like, mayor, when is this going to be? When is this going to be? So the six aldermen have reached a breaking point. We need 10 people to have a meeting. 10 is the quorum, two-thirds of the council. We have 14 aldermen right now. So five. So they're, even with just five of them, they would have been able to halt city business. They are not budging, and the mayor hasn't budged. I have not talked to the mayor. Alderman McCarthy and I reached out the other day, said, mayor, we would like to meet on Tuesday at 6 o'clock regarding this issue. Several hours later, the mayor finally answered and said, well, we have a meeting, and I don't want to schedule something that conflicts with our normal meeting. Well, the reality was we knew that six aldermen weren't going to be there. So either the mayor should have put the item on the agenda, which he could have done, or they should have canceled the meeting. But instead, they had the meeting, a handful of aldermen showed up, and 57 seconds later, according to the video I saw, the meeting was adjourned due to a lack of a quorum.
That we heard.
So, this week, next week, I mean, going into Monday, there are committee meetings scheduled. Will there be enough people for the committee meetings? I don't know. Four of the six aldermen are on public safety and licensing. And so we'll see what happens.
You're on a weird committee. What's your committee again?
Public Works.
Oh, that what you're on? I thought you were on something else when you first...
No. Nope. Public Works.
Okay, because I thought there was something else when
I'm
you
I'm on
got...
the Harbor Commission.
That's
I'm
it.
On
there
the
was,
Zoo
that was
Board.
It. The Harbor you know, thing. That
yeah,
was it.
The Harbor Commission.
Which I don't know what you would do.
Yeah.
What does the Harbor Commission do?
It maintains the harbor.
Yeah, I remember when you got sworn in again, I remember you were on the Harbor Committee. I said, it's kind of a weird one to be on.
Yeah.
Not a lot of activity there.
The Harbor is in the 4th District, so I'm on the Harbor Commission. We meet at one of the three yacht clubs once a month. They rotate, and so.
I got to ask you, is it really worth getting involved in all this minutiae? This is why I never got involved in anything like that. I mean, I've been asked in different spots to be, I remember when I was in Brown Deer, they asked me to get involved with this stuff, and I didn't want to. I said, I don't need to get involved with this minutiae. I mean, there's just too many people.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like arguing. Yeah.
Good question.
Hold the answer to that.
Paul Harvey?
Look at his face. It's not an emergency. I just wanted to hold the answer.
And now you know the rest of the story.
We're going to find out the rest of the story with David Mack in just a moment. Right now, it is time for Paul Harvey. Let's
now,
do it.
The rest of the story. The old man was visiting in the home of a friend one evening. This friend had just purchased a new lamp, and he was showing it off. What do you think of it, he asked his guest. And the lamp was a very bright one, so much so that the old gentleman wondered aloud how much energy it consumed. The rhetorical question sparked a discussion, and the discussion almost grew into an argument. The old man's point was that the lamp, bright as it was, could not possibly produce enough light to justify its operating cost. The bespectacled old fellow stayed at his friend's house, beating this topic to death until almost 4 in the morning, at which time he went home and went to bed. Now it's 6 o'clock the same morning. The old man's been asleep only 2 hours. Suddenly there was a noise from the street outside his window. Nothing serious, just loud enough to awaken the elderly gentleman, caused him to sit instantly upright in bed. At first he's thinking, what in the world was that? But now, halfway between conscious and unconscious, he becomes aware of something at once inconsequential and wonderful. The entire room is filled with light. Oh, you're saying, of course it is. It's daybreak. But now remember the conversation the old man had had with his friend the night before. The discussion had been about illumination and energy consumption. So that's why this fellow, this American visiting Paris, is suddenly struck by the fact that had he gone to bed at sundown last evening, then got up at dawn to visit his friend, no lighting energy would have been wasted at all. Intrigued by this conclusion, the American visitor jumped out of bed, hurried to his desk, began calculating similar energy costs in citywide terms, and the figures were staggering. Now he is utterly convinced of a way to cut those costs on a grand scale. Use the hours of daylight for activities requiring light, and the hours of darkness for sleeping. By now, I guess you've guessed that this was the origin of daylight saving time. In fact, this American in Paris published an article about it in a Paris journal. He included some very tough suggestions for the enforcement of the new system. For example, he proposed a tax on anything which blocked the sunlight from coming in a window. He proposed a purchase restriction on any devices used for artificial illumination, a roadways travel ban after sunset. He didn't think anybody ought to be allowed to travel after sunset. And he proposed a loud public alarm to herald sunrise. I suspect it was the proposed public alarm that did it. Because despite the very many who read that article, no record can be found that anybody, aside from the author, was then in favor of daylight saving time. So the idea was set aside for many, many years. In fact, daylight saving time was not really put into practice until the 20th century, though it was first conceived in 1784 by a 78-year-old American in Paris concerned over the energy costs of candles and whale oil. So this weekend, as you hurry about your house, reclaiming the hour you gave to Father Time last spring, you will now at least know whom to thank or to blame. It was a frugal fellow named Benjamin Franklin. And now you know the rest of the story.
Paul Harvey and the rest of the story. Learn how your business can be a sponsor of one of the most popular shows ever to air on WRJN. Call us during business hours, 262-634-3311, 262-634-3311. You can be one of four category exclusive businesses to sponsor Paul Harvey and the rest of the story. Let's check news of the morning, see what's going on, 731. Here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The bomb threat made to Racine County government buildings last week led to an international investigation. It led back to Racine and the arrest of a sex offender. More is now known about the bomb threat call, with investigators tracking the automated call through a complex web of internet-based phone services. Devon Kessler is accused of Googling how to make an anonymous threat before making the call that would shut down the offices last week. Police say he made the threat to avoid a probation and parole appointment. A 41-year-old Kenosha pastor faces charges after allegedly transferring intimate photographs from a victim's phone to his own without consent. Gabriel Mills is a pastor at the Journey Church. Kenosha police are encouraging other potential victims to contact them with any relevant information. Local animal shelters are welcoming pets from places affected by Hurricane Helene. Over 100 pets were flown into the Waukesha County Airport yesterday. The Wisconsin Humane Society and the Humane Animal Welfare Society in Waukesha are working together in coordinating the transportation operation. The initiative aims to clear space in South Carolina shelters. Civic Media has set up a site for people to make donations towards Hurricane Helene relief. You can donate at civicmedia.us/help. Getting in and out of Pets Park is a little more difficult. Kenosha County crews have started a resurfacing project on Highway JR, which leads into Petrifying Springs Park. The project is expected to last through mid-October. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
And boy, it's not just Wisconsin dairy operators that are paying attention to the revisions of federal milk marketing orders. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. President of the American Farm Bureau Federation is paying attention as well, and you might be surprised how engaged he is in the process. Details on the way.
Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans have farmers yielding out an additional 2.7 bushels per acre over A-Series. This has everyone talking, not just farmers. Case in point, a trucking company wrote, "Morning, noon, and night, it doesn't matter. I'm hauling Z-Series. The phone doesn't stop ringing. Even my home number, it never stops ringing." Well, it's fair to say Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are making quite an impact. Unleash your greatest harvest yet at pioneer.com/new era.
Zippy Duval is the president of the American Farm Bureau Federation. He, along with other state presidents from around the country, made a visit to World Dairy Expo this week, where he tells us he's monitoring the federal milk marketing order reform process and says there's a lot of possibilities.
Well, you know, we've got a lot of wins in this, but we're disappointed in a few areas. You know, really and truly, we're proud of the process. It really got this process started several years ago, and we called all the dairy industry together in the Midwest, and from dairymen to co-op to all the people that was involved in it, and says, you know, we really need to do something. And then coming out of that, we had the federal milk order hearings, and that lasted weeks and weeks on weeks, and now we're going through the rules and the rules that are being released from it. So we've had some wins in it. We was glad to see what has happened, but there are some areas we wish we could have went a little bit further.
Zippy Duval, president of the American Farm Bureau Federation, visiting with us at World Dairy Expo. He is a dairyman himself. He said he grew up milking Holsteins in Georgia and always wanted to make a trip to World Dairy Expo. Now, he said he and his wife are actually back in dairying. They're milking two Jersey cows at home.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Yesterday, the barrel cheese gained 0.75 cents to 2.15 1/4. 40-pound block cheese dropped 5 1/4 to 2.02 3/4, while AA butter dropped 7 to 2.68 a pound. This morning, the November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, it's up a penny, 22.30 to 100 weight. December corn's down a penny at 4.31. November beans down 8.5 right now at 10.47. And December wheat's down 3.5 at 6.11. There's your market update. I'm PM Yankee.
Mostly sunny today, our high right around 71 this afternoon. The wind out of the north to northeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to 56. Tomorrow, sunshine 68. And on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Everybody wants to live longer. They will eat anything to live longer. But I guarantee you, here's something you will never hear anybody say. Oh, please take it away already. I can't stop eating that kale. That kale is so good. No, it's not. It's packing material. You can't chew kale. I took it back to the store. I said, you can't chew this. He said, you have to go like this. I said, what, roll it and smoke it? Is it prescription kale? Does everything have to have kale in it now? Kale chips, kale cookies, kale crackers. What kind of dog is that? Oh, he's a kale doodle. What goes with the kale? The quinoa. We have to have the quinoa. Nobody knows what it is. You can't find it in the store. Ask somebody who works in the market. Excuse me, where's the quinoa? The what? The quinoa? Aisle two.
And good morning at 7:37. I am Don Rosen. Thank you for joining us here. David Mack, our 4th District Alder, is here. We're talking about the, we're going to talk about other things too, but we're talking about the boycott. Some members, not everybody, of the council, and you weren't there, but you didn't know about the boycott. They left you out of the loop, right?
Probably better. The first I heard about it, Denise Lockwood from the Racine County Eye texted me at 5:35 a.m. on Saturday morning. Now, my phone was on silent, so I didn't hear the ping go off, or I would have probably woke up. And then when I did wake up, I look and she's apologizing for getting a hold of me that early. She was in Ohio and they're on Eastern time versus Central time. Well, that was the first I heard about it. They sent out, the six aldermen sent out a press release at 11:35 Friday evening. Why? On a Friday, you know, the news cycle, I would have timed it a little differently, but I'm not going to second guess what they did. It obviously, the word spread very quickly, and it was all over Facebook. It had exploded. And it's kind of ironic, you know, Corey's, even though he's a mayor, it's a nonpartisan position, Corey's a strong Democrat. He makes no issues about that. And during Act 10, where Scott Walker challenged the public employee unions and made massive reforms, the Democrats were fighting that. And there were a group of state senators that fled to Illinois so that the state Senate would not have a quorum.
I remember when that happened, yeah.
So how is this any different? And the irony is that, you know, these aldermen, for the most part, are probably not leaning Democrat, although a few of them do. It It's a good mix there. But they pulled a page out of the Democratic playbook by boycotting the council. The ethical dilemma I have, Don, is that there's work that needs to be done. There are things that the council needs to approve that are time sensitive, that affect development and other things like that. So how long is this going to last? I think the ball is in the mayor's court. I don't think it's unreasonable that these ordinance changes that were approved by a committee of the whole on August 8th come before the council. I don't know what the holdup is, and I would suggest having the mayor come on and ask him, what is the holdup on those ordinance changes?
Well, he will be here. The closest I can get him is October 14th. He'll be here at 7 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock after double check.
So will Racine still be held hostage October 14th?
Or... So what's not getting done that we're going to suffer? We're going to have shortages of toilet paper? Are there going to be shortages of milk?
For example, on Tuesday's agenda, we were supposed to issue bonds. And bonds allow you to have money coming in to pay for projects. And those bonds are, the interest rate and terms differ from day to day. So by delaying that, are we going to get a better deal or are we going to get a worse deal? You know, things like that. Those type of things are in play. Also, like Public Works Committee, we approve paying bills. So the question is, I don't know if the bill gets paid prior to the council then saying, yes, we agree with the Public Works Committee.
You have to agree. Everybody's got to vote on paying the bills?
Not all of them, but let's say there's a major construction project. Yeah. And so at the last Public Works Committee, you know, they came before us for approval to pay the remainder of the project costs for maybe a street or some other capital project that the city undertook. Basically, I think it's capital projects. It's not the day-to-day, you know. Don Rosen needs a pencil. He has to wait for the council to approve. You know that? No, that's not what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. We're talking about capital projects.
So right before the break, we were talking, what's the next move? I mean, what if, I mean, this can't go on forever. Somebody's going to have to give because that's just the way things work.
I don't think these six aldermen are going to give. I really don't. And I don't, as I said,
I don't. Do you know who the six are? I know Melissa Caprillion's one of them.
Melissa, Renee Kelly, Alderman Davis, Jeff Coe, and Henry Perez, and Sandy Widener.
Oh, yeah. We've had most of them in here before.
Right. I don't think it's unreasonable for those ordinances to come before the city council now that the committee of the whole passed them. And so the ball is in the mayor's court. What is the holdup? I don't understand. And if the mayor has a problem with the ordinances, it would be nice for him to communicate with the council about that.
Has anybody talked to the mayor? You have to see what it would take to get everybody back on track again.
I believe Alderman McCarthy has.
Well, he's the president of the council, yeah.
He has had initial conversations with the mayor, but the mayor has not committed to having these ordinances placed on the agenda, which the mayor is making our point. Communications and actions are being held up and withheld from the council. And that's why we need to go back to the way it was.
And when was it back to the way it was?
2019 is when they changed it. Okay. And at the time, and here again, I had a 13-year hiatus. I didn't get involved much with city government and politics. But when I saw that the city council was doing this, I called up several aldermen. I said, what are you doing? You are making a mistake. You're ceasing control. And, oh, no, this will make it more efficient. This is better for us. And I was right. And some of the aldermen, like Jeff Cole, who did vote for it at the time, regret that decision. There's a check and balance in government. And, you know, this is not where I saw myself when I ran for alderman. I was really hoping to build bridges with council members, with the mayor. I've encouraged the mayor to be more proactive in reaching out to aldermen on the other side of the aisle.
Have you spoke to the other alders to see what they're, not part of the boycott, the ones that showed up? Has anybody spoken to them to see what their feelings are?
I have not at this point. I made overtures to one of the aldermen to get together on Sunday afternoon, I believe. He had a family get together. So, you know, we all lead busy lives and stuff like that. And, you know, I guess maybe I should be smiling and dialing and picking up the phone.
Why don't you all meet at Iffy Zeno's for lunch and talk it out?
Because we would have to post that as a meeting.
An open records meeting.
One of the problems is you got to be careful that you don't have a walking
quorum.
Is that
the Sunshine Law?
Sunshine Law, I think, has to do with things being open and transparent. Yeah. So
you just can't meet on this, you know, just casually watching a game at
would have a Christmas party with all the aldermen and our wives or husbands. And it was interesting because I don't remember, this is going back, but if we had to post that or not, that this was going to be,
well, you know,
a majority of the council members were going to be in one spot.
I could never do. I have no trouble dealing with FCC requirements and all that. I've been dealing with them for years. And to me, it's just, they never change. They're always the same, mm-hmm. and you follow them or else. And that's just the way it has been. I can't imagine dealing with this. Because I got a big mouth, and I'd be screaming, and I'd be yelling, mm-hmm. and they'd throw me out, and they'd have the police there escorting me out of the building. We're talking to Alder David Mackey. He's the 4th District Alder. We're talking about, and we're going to talk about some other things, too. Talk about the boycott that the city council had. What was it, two nights ago, three nights ago?
It was Tuesday night, two nights ago.
One, two, yeah, okay. I'm trying to get a calculator to figure that out. Yeah, it was two nights ago, Tuesday night.
Common Council held hostage.
All right, now, are you going to come up? I was thinking of this yesterday. I was talking to Alder Caprillion. Are you going to come up with a fancy name for the six? Like they got to have the something something six.
You'll have to think about that. What can we tag them as?
So. I remember when the what was it? The
Democratic state senators
went
Senator
to
Birch
Illinois.
Was one of them.
I remember when that was back in the 80s or 90s. Yeah. It was way back there.
And I'm sure Mayor Mason supported the antics of those state senators.
He was a
state assemblyman. Yeah. I remember seeing a picture of him lifting his desk out of his first floor window so he could do the people's business on the sidewalk outside of his office. So he should appreciate the efforts being made by these six aldermen who are fighting for some respect and some dignity here.
The Fighting Six.
Yeah.
Or something. We've got to come up with a fancy name for the six.
Let's start with an S, I think. You know, come up with something.
I know I can. I'm not good at this stuff.
Yeah.
You should be.
You know, we need Mark Eichhorst back. He was clever and good at those kind of things.
Mr. Racine. It's 7:48 at WRGN. Looking for sunshine today with a high near 70. Looks like a chance of showers for tonight. Lows 57. Cloudy gradual clearing tomorrow with a high near 67. Sunny on Saturday and Sunday, highs in the 70s. Right now, we've got sunshine. It's a beautiful fall morning. It's 57 degrees right here at Radio Park. Don't forget the Mets and the Brewers, Game 3. It's a big one tonight. You can hear it broadcast time, 5:30. That's pregame time at WRJN.
Roll into the Lanes Hot 20, the perfect place to bowl, dine, and unwind. Fall bowling leagues are filling up fast. Plus, take advantage of our daily open bowling specials. After you strike up the fun, head on over to Angry Brothers Pub for unbeatable food and drink deals during Brewers, college, and NFL games. Start your weekend right with the Friday Fish Fry. It's the talk of the town. Planning a holiday or birthday party? The Lanes on 20 has the perfect setup for you and your crew. Yes! The fun rolls all year long at the Lanes on 20, just west of Green Bay Road.
Just who is Peter Barca? Barca is a career politician we simply can't trust. We can't trust him to protect law enforcement because Barca raised money for an anti-police group that called our officers occupying soldiers. Can't trust Barca on the border either. He voted to support sanctuary cities, putting violent criminals before our families. And while fentanyl floods our streets, Barca chose radical politics over our safety. Our veterans can't trust Peter Barca. He voted to cut the benefits they earned and deserve, endangering our families and communities, dishonoring our veterans. We just can't trust a career politician like Peter Barca.
I'm Brian Style. I'm working to support families, stand with law enforcement, and honor our veterans. Families are struggling to afford the things that they need. That's why I'm working to lower costs and stop wasteful spending. I'm Brian Style, and I approve this message because together we will get our country back on track.
Paid for by Style for Wisconsin.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org. That's 800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers return home to face the Boilermakers. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 99.9 FM, 1400 AM, WRJN.
Hi, David Mack is here, our 4th District Alder. Speaking about the 4th District, we got that new street, brand new. It was cut up for about a month on North Main Street, right there where Firestone is. That's where the, just north of that. And it was cut up for about two or three blocks or something. And I think it was water main problems. Do you know the water mains in Racine, they still have wooden ones? You ever see the wooden ones?
Nope. We're an old city.
I know, but when you see them and they work, it's just they're wooden, and you say, well, wooden. It was cut up. Where do the people park their cars who live there with their homes? I mean, I don't. What are you going to have? Got packages? You're going to walk two blocks with your groceries in the rain? I mean, I don't know how they survived.
Where did you park?
I didn't have it in front of my house.
Oh, well, it's coming.
That was a. No, I'd have friends on the council. It's not coming. I'll be honest with you. They brought out some barrels, and they were putting them along the on the grassy area about one house north of me. And they started ripping up the street, little thing there. So I went up to the guy when I came home from here, and he said, how far south are you going with that hole? He goes, right here. What they did was, it was just a little dip in the street, and they were replacing the concrete.
Oh.
So that was fine. I got panicky when I saw the barrels. One day I come in here last week and the barrels are out on right in front of the radio station. Oh, no. We had a water main break here. It looked like the Bellagio out front with the water shooting up out
pretty
of the
nice. Screen. Colored laser.
No, we didn't have any lights on them. It looked like the Bellagio in Vegas. And they fixed it and they put a temporary patch on it. Now they put concrete on it. So my question to you was, why did they use asphalt on the entire Main Street from 14th Street all the way to 4 Mile Road is all concrete, except for that patch.
At the time that a concrete street needs to be repaired, I think it's probably more cost efficient to grind off the top layer and smooth it out with blacktop. I don't think you can layer concrete on top of concrete like that.
No, I think they've done it before. I know it's Mount Pleasant. It's not Racine. But that stretch of road on Spring Street by Pick and Save and the Pig, I'm going to lose an axle on that street. I don't know why Mount Pleasant doesn't fix that. They seem like they have little patches here and there, and the patches after a while become ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. I don't know anybody in Mount Pleasant, but fix the street. I mean, that's a heavily traveled street, Spring
Call
Street.
Call David Groot. He's the president, and he's running for the state assembly, so he might want to come in and talk to you about that.
You know, they always have a patent line. We're working on it. Yes, that's one of the main things we have on our agenda, that Spring Street. Yeah, we're... And what am I going to say? Move it up the agenda, you know, move it up to the top of the list. But, you know, even in my wife's car, which is newer than mine, ba-boom, 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 right. Sounds like you're going to lose an axle or a shock absorber going down that street.
Rapids Drive, even though it's a concrete street and looks fairly new.
Oh, what they're doing
is like
there
that, is like that too, you know, ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom.
Are you getting around those barrels when Rapids Drive meets Northwestern? Mm-hmm. Holy mackerel.
Yep.
I mean... You can wind up in the opposite direction lane. It's so confusing. They got those barrels out there. Wow. My father, years and decades ago, this is before Google and the internet and everything, wanted to find out if it's money in this barrel business. So he spoke to somebody at a New York newspaper. He actually called them up. He said, is there money in making these barrels? They're everywhere. And this is before they had the plastic ones. This is when they had the steel ones. Is there money in it? And the guy from the newspaper said, we did an investigation of that. There's no money in it. It's so competitive that the prices drop so much that you can't make money in it.
Wow.
You would think you could. Now, that was decades ago. I don't know what it is now. Those were the steel barrels they used to use, the oil drums. And he said, there's no money in it. Because when you put the bids out, you have to price it so low. This is in New York City.
Well, it's all over, you know. We have to bid out projects that are X amount of dollars, and so that's one of the things that comes before Public Works is we'd like you to accept the lowest, you know, responsible bidder. And it's sometimes interesting looking at how close these bids are or how far apart they are. And sometimes when they're far apart, you can tell there's a contractor that doesn't want to do the job, and so they put some ridiculously high number on there.
Well, we had that when we were doing our roof work here. This is back in the 90s, early 90s. The owner took the lowest bid, and it was so costly, $40,000 in damage was done to our building because it rained and it was pouring in it. You heard that story before.
Yep.
And that's what happens sometimes when you take the lowest bid. You get the lowest work. Sometimes the medium or the higher bid does quality work.
Right.
And, you know,
we put a new roof on our house. I went with the median bid. I didn't go with the very highest. I didn't go with the very lowest.
Yeah, you take a medium one, yeah.
And the guy said, you know, we're not the cheapest, but we're not the most expensive, but you're going to get a good quality product.
That's what you're looking for. We just had a bathroom redone in our house, and we had the guy come in. He quoted me a price. It was up there. But you know what? It's beautiful. Mm. It works, and we love it.
Nice.
And he got it done on time. And what we did was, with some of the doors, our house is 114 years old.
Right.
And we wanted to preserve the woodwork all around the windows. So they took all the woodwork off. They pried it off around all the windows, the doors, the woodwork around the doors. Put up 114 years ago. They blasted all the paint off. 10 layers of paint was put on there, including the first layer, which was black paint.
Wow.
Back around the turn of the century in 1900. So they did all that, and they restored it to what it was. And it's gorgeous. You could see each little crevice now. Before, you couldn't see because there's so many layers of paint. And it's gorgeous. Did it cost money? Sure, it cost money. But it was well worth it.
Right.
Because now we have a beautiful bathroom with beautiful woodwork from the early 1900s that looks like it was just made today. And they did a wonderful job. It took a lot of time because he said we had to take off 10 layers of paint.
Wow.
That's a lot of paint to peel off, and you don't want to ruin the woodwork doing it, so you got to do it carefully.
Mm-hmm.
My wife tried to do it on her own. She got one thing done, and she said, I can't do this. This is way too much work. And the smell of the solvent you got to use and everything, so we had to get a professional in there. But we got woodwork just as it was put up in the early 1900s. It looks great.
Wow.
Want to use my bathroom? You can use it. You come over and use it. David Mack, thank you for coming in.
Hey, thank you
for having me. And thanks for explaining it. I kind of understand it now. I'm a slow learner.
So you got to get one more alderman in to clarify what I clarified.
You clarified Melissa, Melissa Caprillion, and now I got to get somebody to clarify. You heard David Mack. Now, what did he mean when he said, I think I understand it now. It's not that complicated. It's basically there were some rule changes, and it used to be around, and now you need him back again.
And
you need the way it was.
The mayor has just proven by not acting on them, this is why we made the change we did.
Well, the mayor will be in here on October 14th. Hopefully this will be settled by then. If it's
I'll be
not,
listening.
We'll talk about it when the mayor comes in here. David Mack, thank you very much. Alderman for the 4th District, thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Don.
You're a good friend.